When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
30 to the 40 to midfield. Turpin's got the Jets going. 10-5. Touchdown by the league's leading kickoff returner. And everybody's hanky is in its pocket.
Very, very difficult to pick a play to start with. We start, though, with the Monday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on your home for Dallas Cowboys football, 105.3 The Fan. We got Peyton, we got Caitlin in the back, and we have you, thankfully, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And craziness as people are just trying to stack up where this fourth quarter and game belongs amongst the most nutty of this or any other NFL season. Bobby was there in Landover, Maryland.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that was the conversation after the game, getting onto the bus from everybody in the media and talking post games. Just like, where is this in terms of just insane finishes you've been present for? Babe was talking about it. Babe doesn't. That can't really remember one that's up there. The one everybody kept kind of coming up with was the Buffalo game, the 5-interception Romo game, where they recovered an onside kick and then Nick Folk had to make back-to-back 53-yard field goals. But, I mean, this is way up there, up the list of just insane finishes in the final 3 to 5 minutes.
At what point did you say to yourself, all right, this is over. All right, the other team's going to win. All right, Cowboys are going to win.
I thought it was over when the game started. That Washington was just going to roll through them. And then at halftime, I was like, all right, they've toyed with them enough. It's like, what, 9-3 at half? I was like, they're gonna come out and they're gonna score their first possession. And then the game will be, they'll get the two-point conversion, it'll be 17-3. And they will methodically kind of do what Houston did, just methodically pull away and make this like a 26-27-10 type game.
We went from preseason football, one of the most unwatchable, ugliest games of the year, to pure absolute chaos, as this was, what, 9-3, 10-9?
10-9.
That's what we were dealing with here. It was hideous. Really a referendum on the Commanders. RJ, you've been having doubt about them throughout the entire season. Now they are clearly slipping as all these points get scored in the fourth.
They scored 24 in the fourth. When was the last time they scored more than 24 in a game?
Baltimore,
week 3. Wow. They had not scored more than 24 in a game.
Buy into us.
In what, 9 weeks, 8 weeks? And here they do it in the fourth quarter.
Special teams with Bone Fossil packing up his bags in the first half. And then I lost track of like the order of things. That's how...
I had to go back and look this morning.
Right?
Yeah, I had to go back and look.
It's all right, where do we start and where do we go in terms of the chronological order? But you got Turpin, the spin move is something I thought of your kids in youth football. I'm like, all right, how many people, is that the next mimicked move out there with what Michael Jackson did with that kickoff return? Turpin with the return. McLaurin, the call on DC radio is insane. Another miracle in Landover. So you got Terry McLaurin. Then you get the missed extra point. Greg Olsen on the TV call is like, well, don't celebrate too much yet. We got two-point decisions on both sides to analyze. And then Wanye Thomas with his special teams return and score.
Yeah, the Turpin one with the spin, when you say, is that the new move people want to mimic? Turpin was talking post-game, and they asked him, like, you know, when you hit that spin move, do you have a way that you, like, you set it up and you're going to do this and that? And Turpin's like, I usually do that when I don't have anywhere to go and I just don't know what to do, so I just spin.
And he fumbled the ball first, mishandled it.
Yeah, he went right through his legs.
Muffed it.
Five-hole, Billy Butner style.
But, I mean, just the way the defense broke down, that was, who was the throw down the sideline in the Baltimore-Denver game years ago? Where it's just like, how do you let that happen that far down the field that late in the game?
The guy who passed away? It may have been. The receiver?
That was Jacoby Jones with the receiver, yes. But you're talking about the DB?
No, the receiver was in Baltimore. But Baltimore, same sort of thing. We're just like, how do you let that happen behind your defense? I mean, there was a, when you see McLaurin catch the ball and
that
take
was
the first,
Jordan Lewis and Butler involved.
There's four people on like all sides of him within 10 yards of him. It's like, how do you not tackle him? That felt like, okay, this is 100% Dallas is losing this game right now. They're going to go for two or something. This is going to end it because this is just the most poetic way for the Cowboys to lose.
And I don't know if you caught the same thing, but I see Bobby's all caps text and I'm like, wait a second, what just happened here? And then I see Peyton send it and I'm like, well, I'm still a play away from this. I don't know what TV are y'all watching this thing on? Because I don't know, because you and I are in the same TV package. I don't know if you were... They sent the text early, but for some reason, I was like 30 seconds behind on this thing.
And that was after which play?
That was the McLaurin TD.
After the McLaurin one. And then you got, I want to know your total range of emotions. That's really what I want to focus on this morning. And we'll have Odyssey app messages and phone calls at 640 as we always do on a Cowboys Monday at 877-881-1053. Also the way to Texas on the Franklin LaFranco Injury Attorney text line. At what point did you just get caught up in being a Cowboy fan and being like, yes, awesome play? And then you're weighing and measuring that against Team Tank and saying no, as the number one line from many not happy with this is, the Cowboys, of course, even screw up a way to tank and get the draft pick, as the New York Giants are absolutely stinking it up with their situation. Daniel Jones granted his release. Just your range of emotions as a Cowboy fan of, okay, like, this is pretty cool. I'm fine with this W.
I mean, look,
from play to play,
just objectively as someone who's covering the team and wants the best possible storyline, I want them to lose. I want to have fun going into April. Like, I mean, at this point, they're not going anywhere in the playoffs. So do I love this? They were in the same position in 2020.
Don't tell Micah that.
They were 3-7 at the 10-game mark in 2020, and then they close the year, they go 500. They go 3-3 down the stretch, they go 6-10, and they play themselves out of maybe the third or fourth pick, and they end up with the 10th. And right now, they played themselves out of the top 10 with this victory yesterday.
Yep.
I get it, though. It's
11.
It's really, at the same time, when you go into that locker room and you see a bunch of really young players who, you know, a Josh Butler who's got an insane story for his career. When you look at different guys like Chauncey Golston having success, Luke Schoonmaker, who has been ridiculed his entire career, like standing up there and getting talked to about his contributions to a winning effort, you do start to feel for those guys as people and competitors and say, you know what, I can't complain too much watching those guys have success, because this is clearly something that's good for their football character as they continue to grow.
You know, the fortunate thing is they really got lucky here. They only dropped two spots. Theoretically, you know, if they were say in a situation where they were higher on the board,
yeah,
because they had some, they didn't have the tiebreakers and they dropped six spots, much bigger sting.
But the problem is you lose pace with a Jacksonville.
Right. Oh yeah.
You're distance now from the New York Giants. That stings even more. You lose ground on the Raiders, New England, mm-hmm, all these teams that are right ahead of you.
What really stings.
I mean, really what we're talking about is like the Travis Hunter sweepstakes. That's kind of what we're like referring to with all that stuff. I don't know how realistic that was. I mean, there were people thinking they would not win a game the rest of the way. It would be decided upon New York Giants Thanksgiving, but
that's the one that stinks, because you're going to wind up winning two in a row now. That's the part that really stings with this one is that you know you're going to beat the Giants.
You didn't fall too much, but you had a chance to go up.
Right.
If they lose this game yesterday, they're the sixth pick, and now they're the 11th. And so, I mean, with those margins there,
yeah,
that's, and you've got a Carolina team that would have been ahead of you that's playing better right now that maybe they beat you in a couple weeks, and then you're talking about top five.
Look, they tried it from an organic tank standpoint. Again, one of the misnomers about tanking, only dum-dums left think that, you know, the media thinks that the coaches and front office go into the locker room and say, now drop that pass.
Guys, got to lose.
Now run out of bounds. Don't try. No, you have to not play guys from a front office and coaching standpoint. No Diggs. No Zach. No Tyler Smith. No Cooks. You did get Deron Bland back. We'll talk about him and star up, star down. But here is Mike McCarthy inside the locker room with the message after the W.
Congratulations, but I can't tell you how proud I am of you guys. I mean, the messaging. I mean, Linval. I mean, you talk about nailing it. Nailing it. Let's enjoy this, okay? We know we got a quick week. Let's enjoy the ride home. But congratulations. You guys have earned it. You stayed on point. The messaging. The love, the brotherhood for one another. It's been outstanding, okay? So this is the one we needed. All right, Linval, give me a breakdown.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let's go, baby.
Win on three. 1, 2, 3.
No, that was a post-game, Linval, yeah. Not pre-game. 1, 2, 3, crackheads. Go ahead and get the job done.
I'll tell you who nailed it, though, was watching the – I watched some of the broadcast back, some of the stuff at the end, and Joe Davis in between one of the plays when he's like, This is a full bingo card today. That's the way it felt.
McCarthy called a Yahtzee afterwards.
It felt like there were just there was everything you possibly could have seen in this game. I mean, the fact that the special teams was so bad in the first half, into the second half, Aubrey kicking the ball out of bounds. He has the two misses. You get the blocked punt. And then for it to be such a critical factor late. And I mean, Washington, they had an awful day on special teams with, you know, a missed extra point, two missed kicks, or two missed extra points and a missed kick, whatever it was. And it's just, it felt like just a entertaining mess. Because I don't think that was necessarily good football we saw yesterday.
No.
But it was exciting. And it was exciting. Very entertaining.
All right. Micah Parsons has a message to all of us aboard Team Tank.
Yeah, I told you I'm not done yet. I don't plan on tanking. If the higher ups is looking for a draft pick, I hope that's ruined because we got a lot of football left to play. Like I said, as long as I'm a part of this team, we're always going to fight. I'm always going to give maximum effort. I owe it to these guys. I owe it to the fans that come out. I owe it to the brothers in the locker room. So, you know, me not playing at my best and me not being here, you know, I'm hurting other people and their families. So, you know, this is deeper than just, wins. Like, this is... At one point, I think this is just about pride. Like, it's easy to play when we're up. People call us front runners, you know, all the, now playing behind the eight ball, let's see how we can, you know, handle adversity and see if we can make a playoff run. But we got a long ways to go. You know, we got to win game after game and consistently do that and play good for these next, seven games? Six games.
Micah magically speaking with the media after AW. It's funny how that works after the 2-week boycott.
A lot of tweets, too. Told y'all Mozzie would be great. Wait, what are you talking to me about? And, of course, he's already talking smack to the Giants in advance about let a generational talent go, you dumb franchise.
They're only two back of a wild card.
What was it like in the locker room, bus, plane, all of it?
The plane's always a little – I feel like Nick had mentioned this last week. Nick Eatman had mentioned that when in his first season he saw like a devastating loss and a – massive emotional victory, and the plane was the same. The plane a lot of times is just the same. It's the guys are pretty. Man,
don't tell the fans that, they don't hear that.
No, I think they're just level, and they're a lot of times exhausted. They're just resting.
We want to hear you playing music videos recorded at
right. The post game though in the locker room. I mean, it didn't feel uncomfortable walking in the locker room like it has for the last several weeks. Yeah. Everybody's in a good mood.
Part of me was like, okay, we can have a pleasant Jerry experience tomorrow for the first time in how long? It can be a nice conversation. 877-88. Well, unless we're like, why'd you win that?
Why were you calling plays from the booth? All the idiots who thought he had a play sheet in his hand. 877-881-1053.
Frank LaFranco, injury attorney, text. And we're live on the Fan Cam, live on Twitch, and live on YouTube. Odyssey app messages for you to record and call. Pepe, how do the Tolos go about it for 640?
Yeah, guys, so it's real easy. You just go to the Odyssey app, click on 105.3 The Fan, and then you'll see a little microphone icon. You can click that, leave up to 60 seconds of a voice message, and leave your name and where you're calling from.
Let's really break it down with your Cowboys report card. We call it Star Up, Star Down, brought to you by Crown Royal, proud whiskey of the NFL. Star up, star down from the crazy and nutty one yesterday at Washington. Next.
All right, first down, Daniels back. A little pressure, throws it deep down the right side, caught. McLaurin, 45, he's running away. McLaurin's going to score! Down the right sideline, ran away from everybody, and with one play and 21 seconds left, Terry McLaurin went 86 yards. And they're an extra point away, and Dan Quinn says, let's kick one.
Brad Shand with a nice job. Because usually the other team's commentary is, oh, God. And then it's just dead silence with the color guy going, no, no, no. Brad, keeping it professional right there. That was the call yesterday on this radio station. We are your home for Dallas Cowboys football after an all-time thriller in the fourth quarter. That made it 27-26, and they missed the extra point. Another extra point. Let's stop it down right there, Choppy. And analyze Dan Quinn and the extra point versus two-point decision with 21 seconds left.
Man, that's one of those you either are on board or you're not. There's not really a kind of an in-between. You're either on board with the decision of going for two, or you're never going to be on board with that decision. I would have gone for the two-point conversion there. Go for the win. You've got a really dynamic... If you had a pocket passer, I could argue no. But when you had that added dimension of being able to use Jaden Daniels' legs, we've seen Dak in that same situation. I mean, the two-point conversion for the Cowboys is really, when Dak was able to run, able to be mobile, that really was an unstoppable play. I think going for two would have been the absolute right decision, especially when you factor in that kicker has been, he booted a couple that day. You know, he wasn't looking tremendous anyway. I know he had just made a 50-something yarder with about a minute and 40-something to go.
51 at 140.
Yeah, yep. It was a good kick. But still, a lot of things could go wrong there. Just try to go for two.
Yeah, I would have gone for two. I think the analytics or whatever else, the little calculators that exist out there would tell you not to. But I think context matters, and Dallas was able to move the ball pretty efficiently all day. Like, if that was going into overtime, I think that you're banking on just you crush their spirit. But otherwise, I felt like Dallas was going to be able to move the ball. And Washington had a lot of trouble. Like Mike Zimmer did a lot of really good things that really frustrated Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels had no idea where the blitz was coming from almost this entire game. And it was making his head spin a little bit. And he wasn't sure where to go with his reads. And so when you got a fluky, essentially 86-yard touchdown, where it takes Jordan Lewis not getting enough depth, Josh Butler taking the wrong angle to the sideline, and then Israel Mukwamu turning the wrong way as the last line of defense, it's like that was a perfect storm for them to even score there. So I would have gone for two if I was Washington, but I think the charts probably did tell them to go for just the extra point.
I think the two questions you have to ask yourself if you're Washington is, who's the overall better team and who is playing better today?
Right. No, that's part of it.
Overall, we would say Washington's the better team. So, like, let's just go ahead, let's get this tied, and then things will play out the way that they're supposed to. How much are you really scared of the Cowboys offense moving it? Like Bobby said, Cooper Rush ending up with some nice numbers. So I understand them saying, look, it's more likely that we get the next field goal than them. The other issue is what your kicker's doing. And then Aubrey from 60, 63, 64, right? Field goal range for the Cowboys is more expanded than everybody else.
It's midfield.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's this side of midfield.
I'm not killing him for it like I did Todd Bowles a few weeks ago. I get it. I understand it. I also would have understood. So I am kind of in the middle, not black or white with it. I would have understood if you wanted to take advantage of Jaden Daniels' legs. But just like overall, we're the better football team. We're at home. Normally you see teams tie to extend.
Yeah.
At home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sure Dan Quinn felt like even with the kicker struggling, he can't predict that the long snapper is going to throw it in there sideways and low to where it's like you've got to kind of. And as soon as that extra point felt like it happened in slow motion.
Yeah.
Where just it felt like I was able to process, that I don't think he's going to make this because that clearly came in the wrong way. That usually makes kickers hesitate and they tend to hook.
Yeah.
And then that's exactly what he did.
A lot of things had to go wrong on that. for them to miss it.
I would also like to ask a kicker, maybe David Beeler can hit us up, maybe he's listening, Tolo. When the ball snapped low like that, but the holder eventually gets it up and right and looking good, which it did look like he recovered nicely, does that always throw the kicker off? Like, how many times out of 10 does the bobble, no matter what happens, throw the kicker off? Because laces were out, ball was spun around, it was settled. And I'm like, okay, should that have really, did that play into it? And should that play into it from a kicking standpoint? No matter what happens, if you don't break stride, have a little giddy up in your step, your momentum is not slowed, you just go with the same speed and you always assume that the holder from a special, and hell, if you're a high school coach or college coach, hit us up and let us know whether that's an excuse for the kicker.
It, I think a lot of just like, look at any kind of like swing that you would have, baseball swing, golf swing, any kind of, you know, shot. And the slightest little thing that could throw you off could be very, very impactful. I don't know, like, I guess a lot of it depends on, did he start going towards the placeholder before he had the ball settled? Like, you know, how does that work for every, you know, because it hasn't.
And are they looking down at the hold in the process the entire time as they're going up? Like, and then you see that little giddy up and hiccup that has to mess with you mentally. Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious.
Yeah. A lot of kickers will talk about, and I didn't hear anybody talk about this one specifically yesterday, but a lot of kickers have talked about in the past, I know, when it comes up, just the idea of that, the rhythm of that and the muscle memory of that, and like, that's why precision is so important to them on the snap, the hold, the kick, everything, because any bit of difference can cause, any slight hesitation can cause you to really hook it.
And then, Choppy, before we get to star up, star down, I was texting, asking you guys about Mike McCarthy's two-point decision.
Yeah, so he had a similar situation. Not similar situation. It was a decision to go for two. They get up 19-9. All right, so they took a night after the touchdown, they took a 19-9 lead. This was the Schoonmaker touchdown. And they decide to kick the extra point. Now this makes it 20-9. So you're still with a touchdown, extra 2-point conversion, and a field goal. It's still basically a touchdown field goal game. And so is being up 19-9. The only difference there is you have the 2-point conversion thrown in there. The idea is that if you went for two and you fail, you're still up 10, right? So a touchdown field goal doesn't beat you. But if you score and you get the 2-point conversion, now you're up 12. They have to score two touchdowns to take the lead on you. You can't tie. You take the tie out of it. And that was the theory. And I know, I think Olson talked about that in the broadcast, about the Cowboys should have probably gone for two there.
I saw some people complaining that McCarthy didn't go for two after the Wanya Thomas touchdown. That they were like, why even just end the game right here? They're probably not going to score a Hail Mary, but end it. Like, don't even give Jaden Daniels. They're getting the ball back. They clearly, it felt like they almost let you score at the end. Like, when Wanya started running back, it almost felt like they're like, all right, okay, like, pull up a little. Let them just go ahead and score. Mm-hmm. And so I do wonder if maybe that was also another one, because we saw a lot of people on Twitter complaining about that, too, where they were saying you should just end the game right there and try to go for two, because... And so that's two different times where he clearly doesn't want to. He just wants to put the kick up. So, I mean, I guess it's just a philosophical thing for him.
All right, let's talk about Wanya. Another game situation. Wanya Thomas, onside kick recovery, takes it to the house. Choppy, I know where you're going with it.
Well, look, if you're 6-4 and you're fighting for a playoff spot, I could go the other way. But this is like you're 20 games out in August in baseball. And you got a guy up with a runner on second in the ninth inning in a two-run game, and you're up two. Instead of getting the guy over, let him swing, right? The guy never hits. Let him swing. Defensive player, they never score. He will never have an easier touchdown. You're going nowhere. You're not making the postseason. Let him score.
I disagree. And I think that this is a real bad indictment on the coaching of Bones Fossil and Mike McCarthy. Now, do I get it? I get it. Rah, rah, want to go along with it. First off, they're not believing as they are telling us.
Oh, yeah.
We're out of it and we can't make a run, as Micah Parsons is saying. We all believe that and we all know that. They're not believing that. My general statement on this is I understand it. I get it. But I give you extra coaching points if you go down there. if you go down and have the awareness, I'm saying, oh my gosh, like that is a really well-coached football team because you end the game. And you, clearly Mike McCarthy was not happy about it. He was going up the bones, like, what the heck are we doing? There was not this celebration. They were pissed. They were pissed on the Cowboys sideline. McCarthy in the post said, that's something we got to get cleaned up. I love how Mike always throws in, you know, we practiced it. He always does it. He's like, that's what you have Thursday and Fridays for. But, you know, you still have to go over those situations. We practice all of them. So it's covered on my end. Well, clearly it wasn't covered well enough. So I'm not giving the rah-rah points. Get down, do what you're supposed to do, and end the football game.
Yeah, this wasn't... Here's the other thing. This wasn't Matt Willett's go scooping up the kick. This is Wanya Thomas, who returns kicks alongside Turpin off at oftentimes. He's gotten six returns this year. Like, he gets opportunities to do something with the ball. They just threw him a football last week on a fake punt. Yeah. He's going to get his opportunities because he's an athlete, and they use him for trick stuff all the time. That will not be the only touchdown he scores in his career, I don't think. And so this is not like...
I mean, they're not going to come in bunches.
No, they're not going to come in bunches, but he'll get another one.
And so I bet he never scores in his entire career.
I got to take my one opportunity. No. He had three return touchdowns in college. He gets opportunities to return here. He will score again. That was a little selfish, it felt like, yeah, in the moment. Because even when he was asked postgame, he said, I haven't gotten to score a touchdown before. Like, it was just like, screw y'all, I don't care.
Yeah, that to me is not this situation. Sometimes it is. This situation, I don't think that was an indictment of Bones. I mean, the player clearly wanted. He was like, screw y'all, I'm doing this regardless.
I don't know if we can get inside the head. All I know is on the sideline when they go, okay, we're going to have our hands on the football first. You better practice a breakaway situation where you're running free of everyone. You go down.
Yeah.
Go down. That has to be said. That has to be reminded. I don't know if it was, because I don't know if Wanya Thomas is outright defying that order and reminder seconds before.
I think Bones talks today. Like, I haven't seen updated media available. It's weird on short weeks like this how they do. But if Bones talks today, that'll be one of the questions he gets asked. Before the kick, did you tell everybody in the huddle, if you get the ball, just go to, and not even a breakaway situation, just cover the ball, get down, let's end this game, let's not risk anything here.
Star up, star down, brought to you by Crown Royal, proud whiskey of the NFL, and I would like to, what?
Nothing, I was about to say, by the way, that is the third onside kick return for a touchdown I can remember the Cowboys having now in the last 20 years. I don't know what it is about them. They've got a good luck streak with that.
I want to start with a guy you kind of referenced at 6 o'clock. Remind us of the story of Josh Butler. Third and two, breakup. Noah Brown defending him, breakup. Another third down at the end of the third quarter against Noah Brown. Josh Butler, star up.
Josh Butler is essentially a rookie, and he actually turned 28 years old today. Happy birthday, Josh Butler. But he is essentially a 28-year-old rookie. He had played at Michigan State. He was a West Mesquite kid. But his draft year was 2019, I think, like pre-COVID. Mm. And he didn't get picked because he's got decent size, but his arm length, he's 29-inch arms. His 40-yard dash was 4.75 coming out of Michigan State. He's not a freaky athlete or anything like that, but grinded, had played in indoor league and then XFL and got an opportunity here in Dallas. But he was somebody who at Michigan State, he went viral years ago he showed up to senior night or parents day, and he walked out there with his two dogs because his two parents had died while he was at Michigan State.
Wow.
And so this is a dude who, like, he is the... never gave up on his dreams, spent 5-6 years grinding in, you know, secondary leagues.
And I think now he's from Mesquite.
Yeah, he's West Mesquite. And so gets into the NFL, Cowboys give him a shot. And then yesterday, I mean, Kalen Carson was not hurt. Kalen Carson was a healthy scratch. And that's a guy that they had a lot of expectation for. And he steps out there. And, I mean, really early from the jump, he was making plays. Like even if he gives up a pass... there was not a lot of yards after catch against Josh Butler, say, other than Terry McLaurin. There was not a lot of that. There was, you know, a couple different pass breakups. He was fantastic.
More star up, star down, your Cowboy phone calls, Odyssey app messages. And are you pleased or upset that they actually won the game? Be honest at 877-881-1053 next.
Snap to Rush, has time looking around. Left side of the end zone. Ball is caught. Jalen Tolbert for the touchdown.
Fan replay brought to you by Ciroc Vodka. This is Star Up, Star Down on a Cowboys Monday. Everyone should be, well, I don't know if everyone's going to be in a fantastic mood because they actually won the game. But in terms of a work week standpoint, we are all good to go. Abbreviated, maybe you're off. Still checking us out on the Odyssey app, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Star up to the Jalen's yesterday at wide receiver. Jalen Tolbert, it felt like he had more than just 2 for 22 and a touchdown, but Jalen Brooks had the big one before halftime. That was the catch for 41 yards, so the others stepping up where they can. I expected more receptions outside of Lamb for the others, but they did it in terms of number of targets, not the actual catches. Jalen Brooks, span forward, Jalen Tolbert, Rico with a catch, Lipke ended up with one, Turpin, Jonathan Mingo sighting. So that all played into Cooper Rush, 24-32 for 247, two touchdowns. The QBR was still a 48, but some big plays from the Jalens. And Jalen Tolbert, he drew a pass interference at the start of the third quarter. Then Trey Lance came in for that play. And then the Tolbert touchdown for the 10-9 lead. By the way, that was the Cowboys' first third quarter touchdown of the season.
Oh, no.
How crazy is that? Plus, you knew that the other team's going to come out and score, as they always do. Washington coming out and scoring with the halftime adjustments. So we continue with your star up, star down, Odyssey app messages as well with Sean, RJ, and Bobby.
Star up, biggest star up of the day to Cowboys coaching across the board. Cowboys coaching is great. Mike McCarthy came into this. The game plan for McCarthy was really, really strong, I thought, especially given how limited they were with personnel in terms of their offensive line. They're clearly dealing with a ton of different injuries.
It's quite the curveball, Bobby.
That's look. Call me Sandy Koufax out here. That's what I do. I throw curves all day long. Okay, but it is something where I thought McCarthy drew up a strong game plan, specifically relative to pass protection and what they wanted to do there. This was a game that very easily could have seen Cooper Rush sacked 6-7 times if they go in there with a different game plan, whether it be from the pass protection or some of the pass concepts that they're trying to do. They're trying to get the ball out quickly. They're trying to take advantage of some different things in space. So McCarthy gets a lot of credit there. And then Zimmer gets a ton of credit for, and part Micah talked about this after the game a little bit, where he's like, this is what I'm talking about, by the way, when I said I feel like we're good teams, that like I see these things that we're trying to build on and that I know we're having success with. But Zimmer did a lot of really good stuff. There was a play sequence here that I got to look it up on the film when I get a chance. But there was a play sequence, I think it was in the third quarter, where Jaden Daniels got first and 10, and he had to scramble three straight times and picked up like 2 yards on the three scrambles. And every single time just flushed him to his right, took everything away he wanted to do in the pass game. Jaden Daniels has been really solid at reading defenses and not panicking. They did a lot yesterday that really confused him pre-snap with, you know, being able to ID the blitz and do different things. And so Mike Zimmer deserves a lot of credit for that.
Let's get to the Tolos on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Tate in Fort Worth, you are up first and star up, star down. Good morning, man. Thank you. Go ahead.
Morning, y'all. I really don't have any star downs, but just like a quick statement. The draft order is just going to take care of itself. And to enjoy a win like that, especially against the rival, is something to be happy with. And I think Brian Broaddus said a good point on the post-game show yesterday. The coaches, players, and all that are in the organization, they want to win games. Do we want to have a higher draft order? Yes, but to enjoy a win is a good thing. And I will say, this Thursday, everything's up for grabs against New York. So, y'all are appreciated. Goodbye.
You're appreciated. Thank you for the call. I understand the sentiment. I just totally disagree. I don't care what the players want. And I don't care what these coaches want. And I don't care what the front office wants. I don't care anything about what they desire. You put us through hell throughout the entire season. So give us our draft pick and give us our fun with the top five selection and dreams of Travis Hunter if you're stuck at 4-5 and maybe even trade up scenarios. So all this rah-rah, again.
Or trade down.
Respect Tate or trade down. All that rah-rah crap and you just can't, a real fan would never want their team to lose. No, you can also look at the bigger picture for things. The Dallas Mavericks tanked. It worked out for them. With Derek Lively, the Dallas Cowboys ended up a 4 for Ezekiel Elliott, and that worked out as well. So this always comes down to, I always think of Corey Majors with these mistake, types. No. What?
That was a mistake.
Zeke? Well, you were in a position you could have Ramsey, but you tanked to get in the right position. But I always think of Corey Majors during these arguments and fights. If I just, you know, man, I just can't bring myself to do it. I'm a real fan.
Yeah, look, it is the right thing to do. Like, it is the right thing to want to lose to the tank and to get the higher draft pick. There is something, and the people were bringing up the...
And the higher pick, everyone forgets, it's the higher pick in every round.
Yeah.
Except for the fourth.
Except for the fourth, which is bad. So now, good, this is good. Hey, screw you, Carolina, you're going to get a lower pick now. but yeah, it's like, does this, you know, the concern becomes, does it create a culture of losing? We're not there yet.
Yeah,
the culture of losing is what happens when you do this for 20 years in a row where you're in the top 10. That's when you create a culture of losing. A one-off, when you've won 36 games over 3 years, a one-off is not going to create a team of quitters.
This team's getting blown out anyway.
Yeah, they're losing anyway.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I know, they're getting blown out after the year with coaches and a lot of players.
Yeah.
So I don't care about this group having a loser mentality. You didn't have the loser mentality up to this point in the year. And you still ended up losers.
Yeah,
so.
And look, devil's advocate a little bit. One, I don't know what more they could have done to tank that. Yes, they didn't start like their entire offensive line, basically. They're missing their quarterback. There's a lot that, there's only so much you can do. Second, the other thing is, everybody's mad in the, like, an hour later when they have clear thoughts about it. I didn't sense any Cowboys fans were, like, mad at the moment when there was all that insanity going on. It felt good. It was a nice Sunday afternoon changeup to, it was an exciting football game. Your team won. And I think it felt good in the moment.
There was, no, there was. You weren't on Twitter as much as I was because you were at the game.
What a flex.
Stoney, yeah, my flex. I have the flex. Stoney and Garland, you're up next here on The Fan.
Morning, fellas. Hey, just wanted to say, I hear all the draft stuff, but it was pretty sweet to see us beat Dan Quinn and half our other team, so it feels good to beat Washington. My other thing was, I haven't listened to a radio program religiously since Randy Galloway, so I just wanted to say to you guys, keep up the great work.
Thank you, brother, and happy Thanksgiving. I love Tolo Brad said, Dan Quinn must think this is a playoff game with the way he's coaching. So the Dan Quinn shots were fired, and I'm always a fan of a good insult. Caleb in Dallas, you're up next on a Cowboys Monday. Go ahead, Caleb.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I just want to go ahead and say, you know, minus the whole draft pick and everything, it was a good team win, a good fan win, good win for the organization. You know, still a lot of football left, so we could still end up with that high draft pick, but it was a good team win. We needed that win in Washington. I do got a quick question for y'all, though. If this game was in Dallas, do y'all think it would have been a blowout for the Dallas Cowboys, you know, Washington Commanders, you know, Dan Quinn coming back in Dallas, playing in Dallas? You know, every team likes to show up against Dallas in Dallas, so what do y'all think about that?
I mean, Dallas doesn't know how to play at home right now.
Yeah, they don't.
So there's that aspect of it.
I don't like what's happening here.
What do you mean?
I don't. This is, all these calls may as well be my father-in-law. I'm telling him, he's like, oh, what a good birthday present for you. They got the win. I said, Rudy, I want them to lose. No, it's not. But this sentiment, this is the drug in the bloodstream. And you're hearing it this morning. Good win, what we needed. No! No, it's not what you needed. And it's not a good win for any reason whatsoever. You are not getting Dak Prescott back for any playoff run. Let me remind you. Let me go ahead.
Oh, yeah, there's done.
And put that back out there.
Two games out of the wild card.
Maybe if Dak could come back for the first round, second round, your offense could magically, and I stress magically, get hot. Okay, fine. But fine, feel good in the moment. Do it, you know, enjoy it for yourself, I guess.
Yeah, the good news is that you weren't going to get the first pick anyway, and which means you're not going to get Travis Hunter anyway, if you want the Travis Hunter sweepstakes. And trading up from 5 to 1, I would argue is worse than winning yesterday and dropping from 9 to 11.
If you get the fifth pick, Bill Belichick's just going to trade back to 25 to pick up that fourth you sent for Jonathan Mingo anyway. So what does it matter?
And draft a receiver who can't play.
No, a tight end from Michigan is what he'll do.
Pepe, let's get to the Odyssey app messages from the Tolos with Star Up, Star Down, brought to you by Crown Royal, proud whiskey of the NFL.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll get to some Odyssey app messages. And Sean, it's your worst nightmare. We have more positivity here. More positivity, man. Cowboy in Dallas starts us off on the Odyssey app messages.
Just want to give our props to them Cowboys. Hey, y'all did y'all thing. Y'all represented. Y'all showed maximum effort. I got my Cowboy sweater and my jersey on under that. I'm going to represent y'all every time y'all give me something like that. But when you give me bull crap, I'm going to trash you every time. We got 6 games left. Let's try to go 5-1. So that Washington game at the end of the year means something to get into the playoffs. Hey, let's go, Cowboys.
The P word. The P He won.
9-8. Oh, man, the excitement is back. Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, God, guys, why are you bailing on the plan? The plan has been executed perfectly up to this point. Why are you bailing? Bobby put up the poll question yesterday, and he got 4,900 Tolo votes at Bobby Bell TX. I'm getting some feedback from fans who are upset with the W. How do you feel about the victory? Choppy, what do you think the percentage is?
Okay, so you
happy or mad? Happy
mad
or mad
with the victor? I would say it is 68%. I'm not going to do 69 because that would make Bobby giggle.
Nice.
68% mad with the victory.
It is even closer than that. It is 53-47. I wanted the higher pick. Not happy with the win. 53% said that, but 47% said no. Winning is always good.
Peyton said last night it was almost unanimous. The calls were all unhappy. Everybody I talked to outside the team buses, the fans that were there waiting, they were all complaining about. So I don't know.
What happened this morning?
It's anecdotal a little bit, I guess. It's regionalized.
It's all these
anecdotal
people who are not having to go to work, so they're happy, they're in a better mood, and they're calling in and tainting this.
It's, it is anecdotal. I think the
what does that mean?
Where it's like you whatever you just kind of take without facts.
Anecdotal, like, something. Yeah, just evidence that's based solely on, like, just a personal experience or direct experience, right, without any sort of, like, mass
That's why, like, looking, like, at your Twitter responses can be flawed because, like, if the people who saw it are leaning to the negative side, you're going to get a more negative reaction.
Antoine of Fort Worth, you are up next here on Sean and RJ. Go ahead, Antoine.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I don't know what in the world everybody else has been thinking. I am, like, very upset about the win yesterday. We need the higher draft pick. I don't know what's going on. All this rah-rah, like, hey, yeah, you know, we won. It's a moral victory. Bump that. We're not going nowhere. Let's hopefully Thursday lose to make up for the loss we should have had yesterday.
Yes.
Start Trey Lance, and let's get this top five pick, guys.
There you go.
I'll listen back.
Back on board, Twan. Back on board, baby. Tolo of the Day nominee.
We're back.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up here on DFW Sports Station. We got a Post Malone ticket giveaway. You talk about something connected to the Cowboys. No bigger fan than Posty. So 720, a Post Malone ticket giveaway today and throughout the rest of the week. But let's talk about the other running back that the Cowboys did not get. Is Saquon Barkley the MVP? And you want to learn how to tank? Let's all study the New York Football Giants. Where's Daniel Jones going to end up? All that next on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan.